Yeah, it seems to work. So yeah, many people are asking me how come the brain creates those mind-body symptoms because of emotions. It doesn't make safe. In fact, my life becomes even worse. So what to do about it, and how to, how come? So let me explain a little bit about how why this comes. And first of all, it starts with years of conditioning, and then after a while, maybe after a viral infection or after feeling good for a while, the body cleanses all the emotions that have been stored inside of the cells, and it wants to let go of it. And why? Because it's been a burden. You have been carrying something, emotions, for more than a few decades, and that's just not the way that it should work. So emotions are there to be processed and not to be put inside of your cells. So eventually it needs to come up, but unfortunately the brain detects these symptoms as a danger and creates those mind-body symptoms. So we need to go a little step back then, because we think that emotions are bad. That's how we have been raised. That's what people say when children are crying, like, don't cry. Or people, they make fun of children when they're angry, or when children are severely emotional and there's no one there to hold space for them. So the child can't hold the emotion, the child shuts down, gets into the freeze response, and creates a trauma. A trauma is every time when you can't hold the emotion. I'm trying to see the chat, by the way. I don't see anything is being said. So a trauma is every time you store something inside of your body, and that makes you feel extremely uncomfortable. Because of that, you need coping. You need to find a way to deal with your life. And the things that you are going to do are things that will make you feel better. So let's say that emotions are dangerous, that anger is not allowed in your family, then you're going to overcompensate that. First of all, you would like to avoid new trauma. So you would like your caregivers to be kind to you. So maybe you start pleasing them. Maybe you want to do perfectionism. Perfectionism is a way to get love as well. And that's then trying to overcompensate the feeling that you have inside of yourself. So the feeling inside of yourself, and this is pretty deep, is an emotion. It's the inner child. It's the fragment of you that you've pushed away that feels unloved, lonely, unseen, because you are not loving it, because you couldn't. You are rejecting it. You are not seeing it. And then we're going to do behavior in order to deal with that. And that behavior is called schema, or is called coping mechanisms. And in schema therapy, you can learn everything about it. And what we see in, for example, the books of Dr. John Sarno is that he reckoned that everyone more or less had the same amount of coping mechanism. And these coping mechanisms were pleasing, performing, achieving, being overly nice, being overly responsible. And that puts stress in the body. So you're basically in those moments in a stress, you're doing activity in a stressful way. And because of that, you are activating the fight or flight mechanisms against your own emotions. So I know this sounds very deep, but this gets really practical. Because of that, you are in fight or flight against yourself. And that's how you teach over the course of decades your brain that this danger that you're running away from, which is inside of you, so you can't really run away from it, is very dangerous. And then eventually, you become more emotional, because every time when you want to be loved and you try to be perfectionistic, you're going to feel even worse. And that's going to enrage a part of inside of you. So you now have the child of you that feels lonely, worthless, but also enraged. And it the more you are running away from yourself, the less you see yourself. So the bigger the emotional wound becomes. And in our childish logic, we then want to feel even better, and we need more coping and more coping and more coping. And eventually we are only busy with coping mechanisms. And this is, if you read the book, for example, what's the name? Reinventing Your Life, about schema therapy, you're going to see the world in a completely different light. But that is very theoretical. What is happening is that you are teaching your brain actively day after day after day after day that emotions are dangerous. You still can't sit with it. You probably judge emotions from yourself and from others. And you're becoming as well addicted to the stress hormones. So that is also going to have an effect on inside of your body, because maybe you still remain, or you still maintain a form of homeostasis during those years, but you also, you will always become a little bit more stressed and anxious. And then maybe a perfect storm, or maybe the body just wants to let go of all the emotions. And that's when they come up. That's when they want to be processed. But then there is this negative programming that we've done to ourselves. This is sort of like brain retraining in a negative way. Like, oh no, I don't want to feel those emotions. I don't want to sit with that feeling, because that feeling over time is now not just a little bit of anger, but extreme rage. Not just a little bit of shame, but extreme unworthiness. Not just a little bit of loneliness, but extreme pain of being unseen, and et cetera. And then those emotions are going to be overwhelming. It's not just like a little bit of an emotion, like la, 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 just an emotion. Not at all. It's more likely that these emotions are very, very, very overwhelming, because emotions are like energies. And it's not just a feeling. It's also drives you towards an action. And sometimes the fight or flight energy has a lot of energy in it to make you fight and to make you run away. So that can be then perceived as a danger by the unconscious mind because of a conditioning. And then it creates those symptoms. Then people get symptoms. They become stressed about the symptoms. They start believing all kinds of nonsense about their symptoms and pacing stuff, and that there is something wrong with their nervous system or something wrong with their body. They become stressed. They add stress to it. And before you know it, you're in a very negative loop, and it's very difficult to get out of it. Very often when I talk to someone who is who has done like all the research from all the normal things, she is terrified. Like basically, for example, if, for example, the limbic brain creates that symptom of post-exertional malaise with the mitochondria, you can actually test that. And yeah, it doesn't look great, but that is not something that's irreversible, because if you deal with the underlying emotion, then the symptom is gone instantly. But you're basically putting on a lot more fuel on the fire by overthinking, obsessing, or engaging yourself in all these toxic therapies. So that's my short summary. Is there already any question? I couldn't see the questions until now. Could you explain what a mind-body symptom is, says Nikki. I'd like to. Here, I can show that on the screen. Could you explain what a mind-body symptom is, by Nikki Stubbs? A mind-body symptom is a symptom that the brain creates for your protection. That's a very short summary. So the brain makes it to protect you. And where are you safe? Inside of your bed. Away from people that trigger you with emotions, or situations that might feel you worthless or lonely, in your bed, so that you don't have to feel all those nasty things that are actually inside of you, but your limbic brain doesn't really get that. So it then immediately creates this chain of reactions inside your limbic brain, for example, the immune system and the muscles, to create symptoms that you are going to be obsessed about. And if you are focusing on those feelings, and you will be, because they're absolutely frightening and overwhelming, and they're the most extreme kinds of sensations that a human being can feel, according to Steve Ozenich. So then you're completely obsessed. What happens then is that you're distracted from the emotions via the symptoms. But the obsession will create more emotions because you're basically terrified of what's happening. And maybe you start losing your life. Maybe you start losing your job and you don't know how to get through the month. So then the limbic brain, which is probably not made for living in today's society, is like, oh, wow, there's even more emotions now. Let's give you some more protection. And it's going to protect you in a way that you are going to be obsessed about. For example, it gave me all kinds of symptoms. Like, I actually count them down. I had 42 symptoms by now. I'm not even ready. But most of these symptoms, I didn't give a shit. Like, I didn't care. Like, for example, brain fog, I thought it was funny. Or back pain, who cares? I can just push through. But there was one symptom that absolutely frightened me. That was fatigue. Because I basically needed my energy to perform, to achieve, to be perfectionistic, to please, to always think about other people, because that was my childhood mechanism that I created. And without the energy, I couldn't survive in my childhood mind. So fatigue was the worst symptom for me. And I accepted it because it's the worst symptom, but also the best symptom. So someone who works in a university gets brain fog. Why? Because they're completely identified with being smart. Why do they want to be smart? Maybe because that's their coping mechanisms to make it through childhood, to get love by getting good grades and then getting into society, etc. So that's a mind-body symptom. There are so many of them. Basically, in your head, neck, limbs, back. Well, said that. So in your head, things like brain fog or visual snow syndrome or pain or jaw pain or burning mouth or, there are so many. Neck pain, back pain, but fatigue is also a part of it. And fatigue or pain, I think they're the most common symptoms. And fatigue and pain is always created in the brain. There is no such thing actually as pain or fatigue. It's always a protection mechanism from the brain to make sure that you either don't hurt yourself anymore when you've already been hurt, or that you don't go over your limits by, for example, running 2 or 3 marathons a day when you don't have the energy to recover from that. So it's always a protection. So what's everyone saying? Hi, webcam boy. Could you play? Thanks for the short and crisp summary. You're welcome. Very intense emotions are primary for me, leading to severe physical. I feel insane, like I have no frontal lobe, just dysregulated in terror. Yeah, so that's a great mind-body symptom. Usually when we frighten you with emotions, it gets even worse. Food sensitivity from Lucy. Well, you know, if you have been in the fight or flight mode for a long time, so you're not in a rest and digest mode. So digest is processing food. So not properly digesting food is part of the fight or flight mode that creates damage over time. For example, I had gluten allergy because my intestinal wall wasn't that great because of years of stress, chronic stress. And I had like diarrhea all the time, couldn't process anything. But then the intestinal wall becomes very weak, and all those gluten's, for example, and other stuff, they go outside of the what is it called, the intestinal walls, coming into the blood, and then you get that the immune response against it, which makes you feel really bad. Well, it made me feel really bad. But right now I can eat gluten again, although I was officially gluten allergic for gluten. So for me, none of those labels are, by the way, anything that I care about. So, but if you want to care about your label, then, you know, be my guest. Then another question. What if I have no special emotions and feel very normal and happy about my life, apart from my ME/CFS symptoms like exhaustion and brain fog? Well, no. I mean, you have to understand that the whole problem is that you're not feeling the emotion. If you would feel the emotion, you wouldn't need symptoms. So it's either symptoms or feeling the emotions. And you've probably spent multiple decades on teaching yourself not to feel certain emotions. Then the emotions, they're not gone. You know, they are always around. You feel them, but you're just not aware of it. It's in your unconscious mind. And only when you start releasing them, when you really work with it, you notice that, oh my God, this is a feeling that I have inside my body for maybe 30 years, but I wasn't aware of it. So that feeling of feeling very normal is sort of like a shallow version of you when you're distracted or not, you don't have access to your emotions yet. So yeah, I wouldn't be too happy about that. But I mean, you can teach your brain to feel emotions. You can teach everything that is in the unconscious mind to become aware of by exercises. And that's what we do in the release program as well. So this sounds like a, you know, if we have 30 years of conditioning, it sounds like a lot of work to undo that. But actually, it isn't like that. I mean, it's probably not 3 months, maybe in total a year, but in that year, you're going to probably have some releases, maybe after 3 or 6 months. And after every release, you can become symptom free for a while. But chances are that you have had more emotions inside of your body. So yeah. Next question is from Patrick. If I join your program, how much is it for a one-on-one with you? And do you have free spots or a waiting list? Well, I used to coach, but I was always booked out and people were waiting and there was a huge waiting list. So what I did is I trained new coaches to make sure that there are enough spots and they know everything that I did. And I went through a huge, very intensive training course with them. And so now they're doing it. And I don't do it anymore, but I help them. So that's sort of like a shift that I've been making. And because of that, I've got more time to do these kind of things. Because before I was so busy with coaching sessions that I couldn't, you know, work on all the other things. And if you, for example, see other CFS programs who were not focused on coaching or finding actually out how this works, they just had their own recovery and they tell you, you know, you need to copy my way of doing this. This is what I did. Please do it. They had every moment available to focus on marketing, whereas I was just working as a therapist and I did some emotional training and courses. So, yeah. Anyway, that's a long story. So I hope you're okay with that. We've got really good coaches, by the way. Like some of them, they blow my mind sometimes. And I think sometimes, you know, I'm doing this for quite a few years. So sometimes I don't really see the things anymore, but they see things because we've trained them really well. And I think they're really good. So I'll introduce a few of them soon here. Okay, next question is Eva Maria. Absolutely perfect summary. In my experience, 2 years into long COVID, starting to understand. Thanks for that. Could you please post the theory in the book you mentioned in the beginning? I can't really do that right now, but the mind-body theory, that's sort of part, well, that's sort of, you sort of got my take on the mind-body theory, which is much more shallow and superficial than what I just what I know and what I can tell you. And I just gave you a very short summary of that. But if you sort of combine that with trauma work and with schema therapy, so coping behaviors, then you get a much bigger picture. For example, the other book that I mentioned was Reinventing Your Life. That's very dry. But once you've read it, you'll no longer look at life the same way. Okay. Oh, Patrick is saying something to someone else. Nikki. So the terror is created to avoid feeling underlying emotions, which could be the terror of being. This is the loop. Yes. Everyone is in a negative loop. And you can forget about all the theories from all those programs that make things so complicated. You either have a symptom and stressed, and you are stressed or not. That's it. I've got numbness over my whole body and days. I don't know really what days is. And often I feel rage and I have symptoms. Well, numbness is a very good mind-body symptom. And rage is a very good reason to have mind-body symptoms. And you have other symptoms. Another question is from Loris. How often do you suggest checking for emotions for people who don't know they feel emotions? Well, this is a difficult question because I want to avoid that you guys go in unprepared inside of your body. Because what happens then is you're in for a nightmare. Like, imagine that I'll point to you exactly where you feel the emotions along your organs. I trigger you into feeling them, but you don't have any safety inside of your life. You don't have any preparation work. You're going to be in shutdown. And after that, you're going to experience extreme symptoms. And when you're still completely obsessed by those symptoms, they're becoming more and more. And so I would always recommend to do this in a structured approach. I mean, in the past, we had a free program and I offered everything for free. People, they skipped the first 7 modules because they wanted to go to the end, started doing the extreme anger release and then having all kinds of setbacks and extreme symptoms and then blaming me for it, spreading negative feedback and basically being stuck and afraid of their body. So that's not what I want. But if you are in the program, for every symptom is one emotion, and that emotion is along your organs. And every day when you have a symptom, you can connect with that emotion and or at least try it. And once you resolve the emotion by feeling it through, maybe some crying, maybe your body does all kinds of things, you're going to become symptom free. So every day is an opportunity, but I wouldn't obsess about it, and I wouldn't do more work than 30 minutes a day. Sometimes I feel an emotional release coming, says Nick, but I instantly get excited because I think, yes, this is the release, and the excitement snaps me out of it. Excitement is stress because you're basically still in resistance to your symptoms. It's like this is sort of like a weird Buddhist stuff. So you want to be relaxed about getting your emotions out. Excitement is resistance. Excitement is fight or flight. So that doesn't do the trick. But I understand that in the beginning, this is perfectly normal. And over time, it will become easier. Patrick says again, thanks a lot. Are some of them also speaking German, some of the coaches? Yes, yes. They cost $90 per hour, US dollars. And they I think we've got three of them. They speak perfect German because they are German. And they also speak other languages. Like everyone speaks at least two or three languages. It's pretty pretty cool, actually. And another question from Nick. What organ is linked with the fatigue? It depends a little bit. But in general, if I give two examples, shame is on the heart and anger is in the lower belly. But this is not official. This is something that I, Valentina and I discovered after doing hundreds or thousands of sessions with people. Because if you look at it from other charts, they say that they tell things completely differently, like the emotion is somewhere else, or they make a completely different thing. But I noticed that after a while, that every time when someone was angry, that it was in the belly. And sometimes they were saying that they were angry, but it wasn't. And it was in the chest. But then that was the fear then in the chest for the anger. So by the end, it really started making sense if people were naming the wrong emotions to their organs, that there was sort of like a protection emotion going on. Yeah. And both of these emotions can cause symptoms. All right. I think these are all the questions. Does anyone of you have like a want to raise the possibility, the opportunity to ask me another question, or shall we wrap it up? Okay. Then, this was my first live stream. I was a bit insecure in the beginning. I'm a webcam boy now. And I hope to have answered all your questions. And thank you so much for being here. Have a beautiful evening or rest of the day. Have a beautiful weekend, and as well a beautiful healing journey. Bye.